Reading from the Narada Bhakti Sutras, 81. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Satyasya Bhaktir Eva. Kuriyasi Bhaktir Eva Kuriyasi. Devotional service is the most precious possession of a person who honestly uses his mind, body, and words. Purport, the word Sri Satya may refer to the three ways of expressing truth with one's thoughts, actions, and words. Then again, Sri Satya may take it to indicate that bhakti is the best way of realizing the truth in all three phases of time, namely past, present, and future. Lord Kapila told his mother, Devahuti, it is serviceable and practical in every way, Bhagavatam 3:25-14. In its purport, Prabhupada writes, when we have a super excellent process already present in the Vedic scriptures, there is no need to concoct a new system to mislead the innocent public. At present, it has become a fashion to reject the standard system and present something bogus in the name of a newly invented process of yoga, Bhagavatam 3:25-14 purport. Bhakti is ancient wisdom, an immediate practical program, and the vision of the future. It is Trikala Jnana, knowledge of past, present, and future. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Gishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripashindubhayeva cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Govardhan. I'm here at the my place in Govardhan, and at 9:30, it takes about 40 minutes, I walk to Jatipura, where they're having maybe the 10th annual Govardhan retreat. It's based on very excellent Krishna Katha. It's really, I mean, the way it's approved, a beautiful pandal overlooking Govardhan Hill. Really wonderful, great sound system, everything. Burijan is speaking about Vipralamba separation through the story of Uddhava visiting Vrindavan and seeing the separation of the Vrijvasis. And Satchinandana Swami is elaborately narrating the Govardhan Lila from the 10th canto. There's other things that go on, but those are the two main things. Especially in Borijan's presentation, I'm appreciating how he's presenting the concept of separation by so beautifully describing Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna. Very, very elaborate and very, very sweet way where you get a glimpse that there actually is a reality, there actually is a person that is unlimitedly beautiful, inconceivably beautiful. Both inside and out, where the beauty is a manifestation of the desire of the heart to be pleasing to everything. And just the descriptions of Krishna moving and how he killed Kamsa and entered the wrestling arena. But you really get a sense that when you have that and it's gone, it's a longing that, I don't know if you can even use the term unprecedented, but it's a longing, a loss in response to an attachment that's greater than any other attachment that anyone's ever had. So, it's just nice, and I go, and I've been listening to those lectures for years, and I have to say this year they're really the best. And I get to see many devotees that I see just once a year. I'm particularly close to the devotees in the Middle East, the Muslim Vaishnavas. Okay. Now, in the Narada Bhakti Sutras, which has been such a nice exposition on bhakti, what it is and the glories of it, and how one practices it, we've got a little glimpse of that in the last verse. By glorification, Krishna swiftly reveals himself, Avirbhavati, he appears, and Anubhavati, he appears and he lets us understand, he gives himself. It's not just a view of a stranger, a stranger appears. But the person appears, and the person appears in a way that you can see the person in depth. So by glorification, which is the expression of the love in the heart, that's real glorification. Out of love, there's reciprocation. And the reciprocation is that God gives himself. And there is no greater gift than God. No greater beauty than God. There's no greater heart than God. And that is given to us in the most sublime form of an intimate, loving, eternal relationship. that satisfies everything we've ever hankered for in our life. Now, here in this verse, it's just describing how twice it says, Bhaktir Eva Griyasi, Bhaktir Eva, repeats it, the emphasis, Eva alone, Griyasi, it's the most dear, it's the most precious thing. It's that the object of love is the most precious thing, and this is the supreme object of love. Of which we have an eternal relationship with. So, this bhakti, both the process of understanding God and the result of doing so, this devotion, this love in the heart, for the ultimate reality, inspired by the energy of the ultimate reality, the Ladini Shakti, the Sambit Shakti, the essence of the internal potency. It's the best thing. And really, if you just even try to step back from your own prejudices, what can be a better thing than eternal love? Can one be happy? Can one be satisfied out of a relationship? And can one be happy and can one be satisfied out of a relationship that's eternal, it's real, it's substance? It is the substance. So, it makes sense. What can be better than that? What can we want more than that? Of course, we're looking for it in this world, generally in terms of the opposite sex. But it's more infatuation than love. It's more about ourselves than actually about others, which is the real essence of love. But even their relationships that mature, become solid, but still there's something ephemeral about them. Of course, they're based on the body and sometimes connected to the soul, in some higher relationship, higher understanding. So, and what Prabhupada is doing here in the purport, it says Tri Satya. In three ways, for one who is truthful, well, one who wants the truth, if you really want what is the most valuable thing, it's this. If you really want what's most valuable, it's this. And it is honest. It's the honest use here of the mind, body, and words. Why? Because we are made of God, we are made for God, and therefore our mind, body, and words should be used in God's service. That's the honest use of our assets. Because anything we have is given by God. And it's constitutionally meant for God. It's meant for this ultimate reality that's encompassing everything. that's the substance of everything. It's the truth. And the truthful use of the mind and bodies and words is for the truth. And Prabhupada also makes the point, I think it's very significant, that it's the truth now. It's the most precious thing. It's the best way of realizing the truth, devotional service. It's the best way of living the truth. And it's not concocted. It's not something new. It was in the past. It always has been. It always will be. That's what God means. Therefore, the problem is very critical of concoction. Someone sent me an article of people that do yoga now that marijuana is legalized. There's it's marketing. There's yoga with getting high or something. And then some of the article I was reading, that someone said, well, in the Yoga Sutras, one of the ways of altering consciousness is drugs. And it's a fact in the Yoga Sutras. It's one. It's not stressed, but it mentions these are the ways that consciousness is altered. So someone was arguing, no, this is traditional. Of course, someone said, no, that meant like an herb to calm you or something, whatever. But the fact of the matter is it's like, what do they say with a chicken that gives the eggs? And you can't cut off its head. The part that you have to feed. You want the eggs, of course, this is not an analogy for our tradition, but you can't cut off the head because you have to feed it. It's the same thing in yoga, there's yam and niyam. Whatever the context of that herbs or drugs is, it's in the context of if there is, and it's not very clear what that context is, it's in the context of celibacy. That's one of the niyams. People like to say, it's quote the yams and niyams, but one is celibacy, of course, for yogi who's trying in the yogic process to bring his consciousness internally. But basically what the yogic process is, and it was so far as sages, you make the mind lucid and clear so that it can serve as a mirror for the soul. And the yogic process of doing that is stopping all thoughts. At least the yoga that's mentioned in we stop the vritti. So, you have to control yourself, and certainly sex desire and the fulfillment of it has some utilization, but in the yogic process, it's externalizing the consciousness. Anyway, you can't concoct. So this is there. It's traditional. They dice to sarve ham eva vedyo vedanta krid veda vid. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, of all the Vedas, I am to be known. Bhakti. He says, yogi nam api sarve sham madgitena taratmanam shradhavam bhajate yoma. Well, yogis use who works with faith and devotion is the highest level. So, this is one of the suitable concluding verses to the Yoga Sutras. Tri Satya, it's the most precious possession. Tri Satya. Ihayasya Harer Dasye Karmana Manasagira Nicholas Duavapta Sujiva. It's the most suitable for what? Ihayasya Harer Dasya, one is serving God. Ihayasya Harer Dasya Karmana Manasagira. With the what work? The Karmana Manasa, the mind, here are the words. It's the proper utilization of them. Because it brings ourself in line with ourself. We are awareness or consciousness. The fruition of that, the perfection of that consciousness is love. That's what we're meant for. We're meant for service with love. That's what we're meant for. So, therefore, the words are honest when they are used for that purpose of awakening our true nature. Our work is honest when it's used for awakening our true nature and our mind is honest when it's used for our true nature. Even when we have to satisfy our desires in the appropriate way for the higher endeavor of Krishna consciousness. I know myself, a personal realization is when I am absorbed in chanting to the extent that when I am not doing anything else, I am doing that. There's such a harmony of life and soul, of body and soul, of mind and soul, and work and soul. There's a harmony, because that's what I am, and that's what I'm meant for, and that's what I'm meant to realize about myself. Here in Govardhan, it's always so conducive to spend a great portion of the day trying to excavate through the layers of the false ego, the real self. And it just naturally comes out when there's a sincere intent to glorify the divine. It almost creates, the holy name is almost like a magnet for the nature of the soul. When it comes out with an intention to please and serve, it almost is like a magnet to the nature and sentiments of the soul. And the process of chanting is and the power of its force is the sincerity of our chanting. And as we are concentrated on hearing the holy name and chanting the holy name, it starts to draw out the nature of the soul. And the nature of the soul is such a beautiful and satisfying thing. Nature of the soul is love. The nature of the soul is dedication. The nature of the soul is humility. I sometimes call that happy small. The nature of the soul is dependent. Nature of the soul is to take shelter. When those sentiments pervade our consciousness, then our soul is molding our consciousness rather than the mind affecting the covering the soul. So Narada is very enthusiastic, and he's saying this twice. Bhaktir Eva Garishyasi, Bhaktir Eva Garishyasi. This is the honest use of the mind and body and words. Devotional service, it becomes most precious who does this, because he realizes this. When you honestly use your mind, body, and words to serve the Supreme, and what does serving the Supreme mean? It means to flow with the will of the Supreme, and not to move simply based on the false egoistic conception of life. We should be able to distinguish those voices, the voice of ego and selfishness, from the voice of service and the will of the divine. And it's such an interesting dichotomy. When your direction in life comes from a higher realm, through those in contact with that realm, it connects us to that realm, the spiritual world, the spiritual dimension. But when our activities are ego-based, and we're situated in that consciousness, self-centered consciousness, I am the enjoyer and I am the controller, it connects us to the mundane world and all the dualities and anxieties of that. So really what this verse is saying is you should trust and have faith in bhakti. As Prabhupada said, faith is to trust in something sublime. Narada is convinced that the highest sublimity of the true self is in connection with God in a loving relationship. And the conclusion of Narada Bhakti Sutra is, this is the supreme object of our search or attainment. But we will only have faith in that. It is the most precious thing. It is the most precious thing. But why are we lamenting when we can have it now? Because our faith is in other things. you have the most precious thing, which is the holy name, which reveals the nature of the soul, which reveals, and in a way that we can realize, the divine. But it all depends. So he's saying, if you really use your mind, body, and words in devotional service, you will gain faith. And your faith will be strong that this is the object of attainment that will bring sublimity into my life. And when one begins to taste that, then the other objects of faith, which is our conceptions and attractions for temporary things, will become pale in comparison, because you'll begin to taste that sublimity and you'll begin to have a conviction in that sublimity. We'll read a little bit more of the purport. As the best use of body, speech, and mind, bhakti is the best happiness, the best action, and the best meditation. When Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy to explain the very best thing, Ramananda Roy described bhakti in many ways. The Lord inquired of all types of education, which is the most important. Ramananda Roy replied, there is no education that is important other than the transcendental service of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inquired, out of all liberated persons, who should be accepted as the greatest? Ramananda Roy replied, he who has love for Krishna has attained the topmost liberation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, out of all topics people listen to, which is the best for the living entities? Ramananda Roy replied, hearing about the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna is most pleasing to the ear. Chaitanya Charitamrita and Madhya Lila, 8, 245, 249, 255. In this sutra, Narada says the same thing as Ramananda did, but in a condensed form. Bhakti is the best in every category. Why should we doubt it? And why should we dilute bhakti with other truths, as bhakti is in need of help? Bhakti itself confers all knowledge and renunciation. It offers the most courageous action, as well as the best art, science, and recreation. Most important of all, only bhakti is pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Lord Krishna says, quote, one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God, Bhagavad Gita 18:55. Even if we think that we may be able to accomplish something just as well by a non-bhakti method, our effort would still fail to please the Lord, and thus we would not find self-satisfaction alone. Because self-satisfaction is love, and the love to the most inclusive and lasting object is God. I'll just finish the paragraph and then I'll ask for questions. Bhakti is best, and bhakti means devotional service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Once Narada visited Lord Krishna in Vrindavan and praised his unique position. My Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. Your unlimited potency cannot even be measured by anyone. My dear Lord, you are the supreme controller. You are under your own internal potency. It is simply vain to think that you are dependent on any of your creations. Your advent on the surface of the earth in your original form of eternal blissful knowledge is your own pastime. You are not dependent on anything but yourself. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet, Krishna Book 303. Let us keep Narada's spirited words in our hearts so that we practice bhakti yoga without doubt. And let us proclaim the glories of Krishna joyfully as Narada does. Narada is a space traveler, and wherever he goes, he sings the Lord's glories to the accompaniment of his veena. Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena Vika Ramana Name. Playing his veena, Narada chants the names of Lord Radhika Raman. As followers of Narada Muni, we may also select the veena or method of bhajan and use it to please the Lord. Playing our veena like Narada, we may tell everyone we meet, bhakti is the best path. Bhakti is the best, it says in this verse. Okay, are there any questions? Okay, would someone like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Krishna Gail. Thank you. I got your wonderful letter, and I didn't have time. I shall answer it in a few days.
Okay.
I've just been busy from morning to evening. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Gordon Matadas.
Wow, thanks, Govardhan. Great. Okay. Wonderful. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Katya speaking.
From Moscow.
Yes, from Moscow, please.
Katya, thank you for being a regular listener. Thank you.
Well, this is thanks to you, actually. It's really great to hear that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Okay. Okay, we'll go for today. Usually I go for an hour. Somehow this is my inspiration today. It'll happen. Well, you know what I'll do before we leave? Just stay on 1 minute. I can share some of the stuff that I got from the seminar. Just take a second. I have a few minutes. 1 second. If I can find it. Well, anyway, I'll just say one more thing, and then it's interesting. It's Satchinandana Swami was quoting a Vedic thing about hearing, and which is Shravana, you hear the text, Mana, you reflect, and then Nididhyasana, you apply it. He said, Shravana, hearing the text, is like eating a meal. Then mana, the mind reflecting, is like chewing it. And then nidhyasana, applying it, is like digesting it. So it's a classic thing that you kind of hear, but then you reflect on what you say, and then you finally get realization. Anyway, somehow I'm meant to end early today. We'll see you again Sunday and next Wednesday. Lunch a couple of your sacrifice into the age of